Specifically, they shall have the power to review programs and vet new programs, including for compliance with the mission, and recommend changes to schedules. They shall provide for adjudication of issues arising between staff and management where no other means of doing so exists. So that's really two separate items. The second item is it would become relevant in places such as KPFT where there are no unions and there are no procedures, essentially, for what happens when volunteer programmers are dismissed, perhaps they think unfairly. There's really nothing to be, there's nothing in place at the moment to do anything about that. So this would provide a place where people could go and at least have their case heard. There was concern about lack of experience on the part of listeners and LSB members about what really is needed for programming, what kind of concerns there are. And so part of the proposal is that the program directors will provide some training in the very beginning of the program council on the kinds of things that they need. It says the art and science of putting together a programming grid. And the program council is expected to educate themselves about that. Their function would be to make recommendations to the program director. That could be initiated by them, or could be the program director brings to them to ask their opinion on. The final decision in all these things is kept with the management. So if the program council makes a recommendation and the program director doesn't want to do it, the program director is free to not do it. He's required to give his reasons, to give his justifications why he's doing what he's doing. My sense, and I think the committee's sense, of one of the reasons for so much distrust in the system is that people don't know why decisions are made, and the worst suppositions become reality for people. So this is an opportunity for a dialogue in public, for where disagreement exists. There's a provision if they still can't come to an agreement, that the program council feels very strongly about it, that they can go with a 2/3 vote. They can go over the head of the program director to the general manager. But again, the decisions all remain within management. And finally, we see this as a work in progress, and part of it requires that the council make a yearly report to the LSB about how things are going, so that the whole LSB, not just the people who are members, sort of engage with the process. That was the idea. All meetings of the program council will be in public session, with the exception of those that can't be because of the bylaws. And the council shall determine by majority vote whether any given meeting must be held as an executive session. So who makes that call? It would be the council itself. There is a minority report. Michael Novick was not happy with the composition requirement, and he didn't want to see the members of the LSB being elected by the LSB to it, and you all have his minority report in front of you. He has a different suggestion for how we should do the composition. He was otherwise strongly in favor and provided a great deal of input to this final version, but thought the composition should be different. So that's the proposal. Any questions?
Yes. Hi, this is Andrea.
Alex,
how are
to the
you,
stack.
George?
Very good.
Marcel to the stack.
Hear your voice.
Yeah, to the stack.
Marcel to the stack.
And Kathy.
Who else?
Kathy. Yeah, Andrea.
Okay. And Marcel, Kathy, Andrea.
And did you get Alex?
Alex.
Arlene,
okay.
To the stack.
And Nia.
Nia. Okay. All right. Let's go with
Arlene.
That. I've got Arlene. Okay, let me go with what I've got, and then please forgive me. Okay, Marcel.
Campbell also.
I'll get you, Campbell. Okay, go ahead, Marcel.
Okay.
I only really read this motion this morning, and I sent it forward to members of one of WPFW's has a programmers association here that is not sanctioned, but they do meet. And when I contacted them about this motion and how they felt about it, since it would be affecting them, they sent forward a statement. I can either read it or send it to you, but they did not seem to be in favor of a programmer's council. And in fact, they were quite hostile to the whole idea of there being a programmer's council, which confuses me, because when I was on the committee here for a moment, I know that Benito Diaz, now that I remember, was also a member of this committee, so I'm really, frankly, confused by how this passed with no complaints, and yet when it went to our programmers council here, they issued this statement. Would you like me to send it forward?
Are you asking me or the chair? Or?
Yes, you, the chair.
Yes, I'd certainly like to see it. Benito was played a major part in constructing this.
Okay.
And I send you the list of everybody who voted for it.
Could
Marcel, did you have something further?
No, that's it.
Thank
I would
you.
Like to hear it, Madam Chair.
Yes, please.
I don't have access to a computer. I would like to hear it, please.
Okay.
This is Kathy.
I'll be happy to read it. While it may is prudent to have a programmer's council, it is extremely necessary for a program council to not, in all caps, be a tool for people who have disagreements with programmers, programs, staff members, etc., to use their place on a program council as a way to program the station, which is the job of the program director. There must be a definitive clarification between the staff, as members who are not also on the LSB, and the term staff historically has referred to programmers who must be noted in this motion. It is interesting, too, that this motion comes up at a time when WPFW is struggling with significant issues with the current GM, who remains essentially unresponsive to the programmers and has essentially ignored the vote of no confidence. Would like to see the PNB responding to the vote of no confidence, which has nothing to do with this, with the development of a protocol that would include mediation and non-retaliation. Wonder why there is no vote regarding the creation of a programmers association. But when I spoke to Jim Brown and asked him about the motion which I sent forward, he was not in favor of it. This is what he sent. And he also said that everyone that he had spoken to that had seen the motion had not been in favor of it.
Can I respond to that?
Where's Summer?
I don't know. Certainly.
Bill, can you?
This is
can
Bill.
You take...
Go ahead, George. Go ahead, George.
Well, the kind of conflict that you're talking about is exactly the kind of thing that was intended to. This was intended to provide a place where that kind of thing could be resolved. And again, the ultimate decision is clearly in the hands of the management. The program council can make recommendations, and unless you think that somehow the listeners in the LSB and the staff who might want to be on this shouldn't have a voice and shouldn't have a place where they can be heard, I don't really see the objection cut from the point of view of what you read me. The other point of this is there is in it also that this council can provide adjudication in cases such as I believe is true at PFW, where you don't have a union and there are definite procedures, perhaps there are, I'm not sure, for arbitration. So it provides a vehicle for arbitration where many of the arbitrators would also be staff. So.
Okay, thank you, George. Next on the stack is Kathy.
Yes, thank you.
I was next.
Was
that?
Yes.
Yeah, Andrea.
Andrea, you were at It's Kathy, then Andrea. Go ahead.
Madam Chair, the stack so we know if we're on or not and when. Thank you.
Sure. Kathy, Andrea, Alex, Nia, Arlene, Campbell. And have I lost somebody? Lydia, did you ask to be on the stack also?
Yes, I did.
That's what I thought. Okay. Thank you. Okay, but Kathy, and then Andrea, and then Alex was next after that. So go ahead, Kathy.
Thank you. I think that there does need to be a consciousness or a mechanism either on the PNB or within the management that mediates between management and staff, that provides some kind of recourse for staff, and that works against retaliation or perceived retaliation towards staff. I don't think the program council will provide that function. I think that should be separated out and some policy put in place that management should adhere to with regard to staff. I think that's policy that the executive director should take care of. I don't really support this motion for the program council, because it doesn't recognize the differences at the station. Many of the stations do, in fact, have unions.
Rodrigo.
And in fact, there are local program councils. I think that should not just be wiped aside. There are contracts that have program councils that should not be wiped aside by whatever judgment the PNB makes. And my real concern, just as you said, there's going to be some training in the first couple of weeks of people who don't know very much about programming, but they're going to be given powers to make decisions about programming. And to me, that seems a little bit not a workable solution. And my even greater concern is the influence that people try to have on programming for personal reasons. And, you know, being working at the radio station, I see board members who try to affect programming and get people on the air and have gotten people on the air. I see people, you know, people have personal interests with trying to get programming on the air. And people have certain animosities of trying to control what's going on at the station. To me, it doesn't look like it's a workable solution. I think that if we want to go forward with this, that it really needs to be, more time needs to be spent discussing it and working through all of these questions at the PNB level. I don't think that the motion is ready at this time. I think it really needs to be worked on to make it more workable.
Can I respond to two aspects of that? Hello, Summer? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry. Andrea?
No, wait.
Can I
respond? I wanted to respond.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, George. Having trouble hearing. Go ahead.
The program council does not make any programming decisions. It can make recommendations. It's the arbitration procedure. I don't have any problem with that being taken out and put somewhere else, but it needs to be somewhere. And it's only, as it states clearly, it's only where nothing else exists. So it would not supersede any sort of union agreements. And that was discussed in the committee. And the kind of things that you were talking about, Kathy, would have to, this is a place where it would have to happen in the open. These are all open meetings. You know, nothing prevents people from going into somebody's office some other time, but at least provides a place where an honest discussion could be held. I'm finished.
We're almost out of time, by the way.
Go ahead, Andrea. Andrea? Are you there? Can you hear me, Andrea? Okay, we can come back here. Alex, you were next after Andrea.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
There you are.
Hello.
Go ahead, please.
Okay. Yeah. George, did you mention anything about a formal evaluation process of the program?
It's not very formal. We just said that the staff can bring issues to the program council for arbitration. We didn't set any procedures for that. We just said it's a place where it can happen.
Okay. Yeah, I'm talking about before.
Where there's nothing else.
I'm talking about before you even get to arbitration or anything like that. I'm talking about each program should be evaluated, and I was wondering if you included any formal evaluation process in that.
Yeah, we envisioned this, the council being essentially working with the program director on doing evaluations. And the sort of training in the beginning was so that they would be on the same page when they were doing it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm talking about something a little bit more formal than that, having the listeners to participate in the evaluation process with for each program. Okay. I'm having a little problems with
some
this.
Some of the membership of the program council would be listeners.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you, George. Before we go on with the stack, Bill, could you give me a time check on where we're at on this agenda item?
Yeah, one more minute.
Thank you. So, is it the will of the body? Shall we continue an extra? Give me
I'd
a
like
number.
I'd like to call a motion to postpone this to the in-person meeting.
Second.
Who is the second? Was that Kathy?
Yeah, Ken.
Excuse me. I was on the stack. How does Ken get to make a motion?
Folks, calm down. We could finish the stack, and Ken, I think you need to be recognized to go ahead and put the motion on the floor. So do you want to be added to the stack, or if no one calls the motion?
Yes, but I just didn't want to have the question called before when the time was up.
Gotcha. So you're making a motion before the time expires. Is there a motion to extend time for 10 minutes on this matter or not, or 5 minutes, or any minutes to continue the stack?
Yeah, this is Tracy. I'll make a motion to extend.
How many minutes? For how long?
Until the stack is expired. This is Nia. Make a motion to extend that the stack is expired.
Second.
Okay. Second from Campbell?
Yes.
Thank you. Is there any objection to that? Okay, and hearing none, and Ken, I've added you to the end of the stack so that if no one has called it by then, you may. All right, Alex, next.
Are you adding one to the stack?
Okay, I was one of the members of the programming committee that strongly supported this motion. I think that if you look at what the motion actually says, rather than getting all fearful about what it might be doing, the motion is meant to be a kind of a template that the individual LSBs can use. We've deliberately did not specify all sorts of details because we knew that the different stations will want to implement things in a little bit a different way. There's nothing in the motion that would abrogate any kind of union agreements about program councils or anything like that. All existing agreements should be respected. There is, of course, no guarantee that this kind of a structure will improve programming, but we've been discussing, but to answer those who say that we need more discussion, we've been discussing this kind of thing for about 10 years since I've been involved in Pacifica governance. And clearly there's a fear, there's opposition, and particularly that fear comes from staff. I think that fear is mostly misplaced. It's just a fear of something new. There was a fear, I recall, when the new national board came into existence, because all of a sudden you had a governing structure that had responsibility for evaluating programming, for evaluating management, and listener members of the foundation had some real input into that. I think that kind of fear will dissipate, and once the structure begins to actually do something. Right now, we have a kind of a chaotic situation where the different LSPs are supposed to review programming, but there is nothing in the bylaws that specifies how that's going to be done. What we're trying to do is have the national board set a policy by providing a template to the LSPs to say, this is how it should be done. You can work around the details according to your individual needs, but we basically want a certain type of structure that provides a nexus of collaboration between management and staff and the governing board of the local station board, as well as input from the community representatives. So I really would urge this board to allow this process to go forward, and let's see how it works. That's
okay,
all.
Thank you, Alex. All right, and bear with me, folks, if I get you out of order, I apologize. Nia, I believe you're next, and I have Campbell, I have Lydia, I have Ken, and I thought I heard Jessica, and did I forget someone?
Yeah, you forgot
Arlene.
What happened
to Arlene?
Thank you, Arlene, because I had you in a separate category here. Okay. Arlene, I believe, is
After me.
Yes, and then before Campbell. Thank you. Go ahead, Nia.
Okay. Hi, George. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
I'm sorry you didn't have time to read Michael Novick's minority report, because I do agree with what he said in there. I believe in having a program council. Let me just put that out there. However, I plan to vote against this motion.
Mm-hmm.
The program council is necessary, but the way it's written, I do agree with Michael Novick, where he is concerned about the proposed composition of the body, where you have a third of its members will be local station board members. And the reason that he gave is quite profound, at least in my mind. He said, the LSB has the responsibility of selecting a pool of candidates for the position of program director, and thereafter the responsibility of annually evaluating the program director's performance. I believe this function is compromised, and lines of responsibility and demarcation of duties are needlessly muddled if members of the LSB serve on a program council with the PD and advise the PD directly on individual programming decisions and evaluations. We're a governance body. We've been at a management body. I really think that the management and the unpaid staff should be able to work this out without us intervening. So I do believe in a program council, but I don't believe in the way this is written. Thank you.
Thank you, Nia. Arlene.
Nia pretty much summed up, and I apologize. I've kind of dropped the ball on this issue. I did discuss it with both the program directors and the GMs. And they would pretty much agree, they all support the idea of a program council. But there's a great deal of concern about the governance body crossing that line for a number of reasons. And so they would come much closer to supporting the Michael Novick, the minority report. And I have real concerns about getting our governance staff who evaluate the program director and who hire the program director also into this. It's one thing on an informal level. Obviously, we're all in radio because we're concerned about programming. But there's a whole other issue when we start to allow the governance body to also make the decisions that are necessary for good programming.
Thank you, Arlene. Next on the stack is Campbell.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I think that I can feel the well-meaning intentions of the discussion that's proceeded thus far, but I am concerned that it seems to overlook one particular area. And as we look at the powers and duties of the LSBs, they're supposed to perform community needs assessment or establish a separate community advisory committee, that's in the bylaws, where we have community advisory boards This is to ensure that the station works diligently toward the goal of diversity in staffing, and also I would say in terms of our programming as well. In this regard, I think it's very important for us to not just be listening to ourselves and each other, but to also be looking toward the needs of the community. With the situation as it's been described thus far, I don't see how in anybody's community, if there are no Spanish-speaking people involved in the governance already or in the staffing already, how is there going to be any Spanish-speaking, programming effective when there's no representation? So I have a concern about underserved, underrepresented communities, areas, and a particular concern about it seems as though this is totally excluding the community advisory boards that we have in existence, and that's one of their functions, is to help engage our programming so that it, through the recommendations that it would make, that it would be, addressing these kinds of concerns. I would suggest that this be tabled to or returned to the governance committee so that we can iron out, so that the governance committee can iron out some of these potential conflicts and come back with something that, you know, will fulfill the intention that I know it certainly has here and not exclude any parts of Pacifica's structure at present. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
This is Tracy for the stack, if it's still possible.
I think Lydia's next. Where's Summer?
I don't know.
I was supposed to follow Arlene, but
Bill, are you there?
Yeah, I have Lydia next. Go ahead, Lydia.
Okay.
No.
Can you hear me?
I think
now we can.
Coming back in.
Thank you. So I'd like to let people finish on the topic. I know someone wants to refer to that. Ken wants to make a motion, but if there's no objection, I'd like to let Lydia, I believe Jessica wanted to be heard, and Tracy finish, and Ken, you can make your motion to refer it.
Madam Chair, I was referring to the governance committee.
Did you get a second on that?
Doesn't go to governance.
Go back to programming, no? Why are you referring it to governance?
No, it came from programming. I'm suggesting it go to governance because of the other aspects like community advisory board and the issues about diversity in the community and serving the needs of diverse.
I'm sorry, Campbell, you said back to, so it was confusing.
No,
it wasn't going back to.
Point of order, Campbell has already spoken. He did not get a second on his suggestion, so I think we need to move on.
Form it as a motion?
Campbell.
I would move it to that, and I think that there was discussion going over so that it didn't have an opportunity to achieve a second.
Is there a second on Campbell's motion?
I'll do a second. Ifia does a second.
Okay, we've had lots of discussion. We're way over schedule. We know how this goes, so why don't we take a vote here? Campbell has a motion to refer it to governance. Ken had a motion coming up to refer it back to programming. So right now,
this is Tracy. I also wanted to make a motion regarding this. I don't know if that's.
Yes,
you know,
well, the problem is everybody
gets a substitute
motion when they're actually recognized. So if you have, we can have discussion on Campbell's motion, and then you can make a substitute.
Okay, fair enough. Put me on the stack then for that.
Okay, so we have Campbell's motion. It has a second. We have discussion. We have Tracy on the stack. Tracy.
Can I speak to something that Campbell said? This is George.
And this is Lydia.
Just a moment. I have Tracy and then George and then Lydia on Campbell's motion.
Okay, there's one third of this board selected by whatever program director and the LSD agree on. It could be all people who are unrepresented on the LSD. It was purposely left vague so that local conditions could prevail on that kind of thing.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Firstly,
go ahead, Tracy.
Okay, I am making can I just get a word out? And can we? All right, go ahead to the point of order.
What is the point of order, please?
Yeah, since we are, with all due respect to George, since we're all restricted to being on the stack, can we just weave George back into the stack instead of having a response from every person?
Thank you, Kathy.
The same rules should apply to everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you, George. Thank you, Kathy. Tracy, you have the floor.
All right. I am making.
I'm sorry. Please, if everyone could allow Tracy to speak, that would be nice. Go ahead. Tracy.
I am making a substitute motion to postpone until the in-person meeting rather than refer back, rather than refer to yet another committee. I would like to motivate it. I don't know if it's possible.
Let's see if you get a
for
second.
Me to do
is
that.
A is there a second, Tracy?
Second.
Okay. That was Teresa Allen as a second. That was the first one I heard. Thank you for the other seconds. Okay. Tracy, motivate.
I may motivate it. Okay.
Please.
I think it's pretty clear from this conversation that if we send it back to a committee, any committee, if we send it back to programming, they've already worked on it for a year, so I don't know what they're going to do differently than they've already done. Or we send it to governance, and then we get it back. We're still going to have disagreements about this motion, and we're still going to have things that we need to talk about. I think this is an important conversation for the PNB to have. From my own experience as a staff member coordinating a program council, a community rep on a program council, a facilitator, I did this off and on for 5 or 6 years. I feel like I have things to contribute because I'm hearing things that I think are very smart and savvy, and I'm also hearing things that I think are somewhat misguided, and I think it's important that we take the time to talk about this properly. I don't think that we're going to resolve disagreements just by batting it back and forth to committees. I think that's a maneuver, and I think the foundation deserves that we set aside some time to talk about this, to share experiences, to share perspectives, and to come up with something that the majority of us can support. I think the wording on this motion will have some amendments and changes no matter what we do. And rather than bouncing it around only to get something that we won't be any happier with, I'd really like to recommend that we reserve an hour or two to discuss this and to come up with something useful for the foundation at our in-person meeting. That's what the in-person meetings are for, and there's nothing more important than what we put on the radio and how those decisions are made. That's really basic to a radio network, and it deserves our attention, all of us.
Madam Chair, this is Lydia again trying to get on the stack.
I'd like to second Tracy's motion.
It was already seconded by Teresa. We're having discussion. That was motivation. We're all past time. Lydia, go ahead, please. Thank you, Alex.
Okay, so what I see, I can understand what Campbell is saying. The issue here is that we should have, like, a distinct grid of some sort, something that says, okay, this is what the local advisory board does, which is they're supposed to do a community needs assessment report. That actually is different from what I'm hearing about the program council motion. Although I agree with Michael and what Nia said, et cetera, and Arlene as well. But anyway, we are so vague about everything. What is the role of the LSB program committees that exist?
Point of order, Madam Chair?
And
point of procedure, excuse me? This is not germane to this particular motion.
Well, it is because it's about referral, and the reason is that there may be aspects that either the governance committee can clarify for us, or somebody, or the programming committee can do it if not, or speak to governance of defining these things, because we need to, as a PMB, say, okay, so this is what the LSB programming committee is supposed to do, which, by the way, every station does something different. Some of them are already acting as program councils, et cetera. And this is what the local advisory board is supposed to do, and that is something that we can concretize because there are CPB requirements for that. And then this, by comparison, is what the program council that is being proposed is supposed to do. It fills the vacuum. Unless that's defined, then, you know, we're not going anywhere. So however that gets resolved, I do support having this discussion at the in-person meeting. But somebody needs to define those functions. Otherwise, we have repetition and we have the lack of clarity, which gets us nowhere. And I think that's part of the problem with this particular motion.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else on the substitute before we go to a vote on the substitute? And depending on the outcome, whether we go to the other motion, main motion? Is there any more discussion? We're undoubtedly well past time. Okay, if there is none, then let us please go to a vote. This is on Tracy's substitute motion, which would refer this matter for discussion to the in-person PNB meeting at the end of the month. It is a substitute for Campbell Johnson's motion to refer it to the governing committee. A yes vote will support sending it to the PNB in-person meeting. A no vote will mean it does not prevail, and we go on to the underlying main motion. Madam Secretary, if you could call the roll, please. Thank you.
Bruce Wolf. Bruce, I can't hear you. Can you all hear me?
Can you hear me?
Okay.
Hi, how
do you vote?
I vote on this motion, I vote yes.
Thank you. Andrea Turner.
Pass.
Okay. Alex Steinberg.
Yes.
Dan Siegel?
Yes.
Thank you. Tracy Rosenberg?
Yes.
Marcel Reed?
Yes.
Laura Priebus?
Yes.
Kimry Orendorf?
Yes.
How do you vote, Kimry?
Yes.
Can't hear you, Kimry.
Can you hear me now? Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Ife votes yes. Campbell Johnson?
No.
Heather Gray?
Yes.
Kathy Davis?
Yes.
Bill Crozier?
I guess I'll vote yes.
Lydia Brazan?
Yes.
Carolyn Burden?
Yes.
Wesley Bethune?
Yes.
Nia Vediaco?
Yes.
Rodrigo Argueta?
Yes.
Thank you.
Allen,
yeah. Jessica Apollinar.
Just to make clear, we are referring this to the in-person meeting. This is what a yes is for?
Correct.
Yes.
Teresa Allen. Can't hear you, Teresa.
I say yes. Can you hear me?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ken Aaron?
Yes, refer.
Thank you. Let's see. Andrea Turner?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 yes, and 1 no.
Okay, thank you. The substitute motion passes, defeating the underlying main motion, and we are out of time on this topic. Thank you, George, for being with us this evening and presenting on the motion, and obviously it will come up for further discussion at the in-person meeting.
Arlene, point of information?
Yes, Arlene.
I'm just
asking a question because I've gotten emails and texts from Andy Gold wondering about when we'll be going into executive session.
I would presume, unless there's a motion to the contrary, that we should go ahead and wrap up on open session in 9 minutes. But first, thank you, George. Let me thank George for thank you for being with us this evening.
I got that. You're welcome.
Okay.
Thank you, George.
And, is there any? I need to know from the body if there's going to be any motions to extend time in open session until 8 p.m. Otherwise, we'll go ahead and break at 7:30 so that Arlene can let our general counsel know. Is anyone going to be bringing what's next on the agenda? Is the Committee on Racism and Sexism, Technology Committee, Governance Committee, Development Task Force, and then after that, unfinished business, the standing rules. So is anyone going to be bringing a motion to extend time? If not,
yes.
No? Okay, very good. Then,
yes. Excuse me. Hello?
Yes, hello?
There is a motion that I wanted to put into the Governance Committee report. I sent it to the PNB earlier today. We don't have to deal with it now. I don't know if we're going to get to it in time, but I do want that motion to be part of the report.
Okay, thank you. Probably not. I doubt it unless there's a motion to extend time. So, Arlene, why don't you go ahead and let Mr. Gold know to be with us at 7:45 because, you know, that way if we go a few minutes over. And agenda approval and all that in closed session, if that would be all right.
And he doesn't need to be there for agenda approval, et cetera.
Exactly. So, tell him around 7:45, between 7:45 and 8, if that's all right, and you could send him a text, okay?
Thanks.
Thank you. All right, folks. Very good. Let's see where we're at next is the Committee on Racism and Sexism. Andrea, do you have a report for your committee?
No, I don't.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Technology Committee, Kimmery, is there a report from the Technology Committee?
No report. A report will be forwarded to the PNB on the past meetings that we had and hopefully the upcoming last meeting for this PNB season.
Okay, very good. And obviously I hope everyone will supply written reports even if your committee has not been able to reach quorum successfully or there have been issues, like to supply some written report as a wrap-up for the end of the year for the upcoming PNB in-person meeting. That would be most helpful, especially for incoming members. Governance Committee, Marcel Reed, go ahead, please. And I'm not sure. I'm looking at the agenda. I have to look separately for the motion. Perhaps you could read it as part of your report or when you get to the motion portion.
I'll refer to Kathy to read the motion, but I'll give a quick report on what we've been doing with the Governance Committee so far. Our meeting was last night, and what we've been working on is trying to figure out how to make sure that all of the meetings, all of the committees convene more quickly and reach quorum. We've noticed that we're getting to the end of the year, and there are quite a few committees that still have conveners that don't have chairs, and that's generally because they haven't met quorum. And the motion that Kathy is bringing will be addressing some of that. We're also going to have a small task force, and they're going to write some instructions for how new chairs and old chairs can have the committees meet quorum more quickly. So there'll be instructions from everything about how to be added on to the calendar, to how to call the meetings, to how to set up the agenda. And then I'll refer it to Kathy so she can read her motion.
All right. Thank you, Marcel. Go ahead, Kathy, please.
Jim Boyd.
I would like to just first say a word about why I'm bringing the motion, and it's dealing with the fact that we have had a lot of... Hello?
Kathy, could you hold on a moment, please? I hear a man's voice in the background over Kathy, and perhaps someone's phone is not muted. So if everyone would be kind enough to please mute your phones. You hear what I'm
saying. On board, and then after we get the budget passed, we don't come back anymore.
Who is that? We can hear you talking. If you could please go ahead and mute your phone, pound 1. All right, Kathy, please go ahead and try again.
Okay, thank you. In many of the committees, actually for the duration that I've been on the in the board system, there's been a lot of difficulty with getting work done because of the challenge of meeting quorum. And so this particular resolution allows committees to work, though not pass motions, when they don't meet quorum, so that when instead of sitting on the line for an hour or 45 minutes waiting for one more person, that discussions can take place and reports can be made and plans can be done and the work can be furthered. So this is the motion. Resolved that PNB committees be empowered to conduct a meeting in the absence of a quorum in order to further the committee's business with the proviso that any motion other than agenda setting or the setting the date of the next meeting be held to the next quorum meeting for a vote. That's the motion. I sent it out about 3 o'clock today, 2:53 this afternoon, so everyone should have a copy of it. And so I'm hoping that somebody will second it, and we can move forward with it.
Second. Kathy, it doesn't need a second. It comes from committee. Is there discussion?
This is Lydia. Okay.
Yes, Carolyn.
Okay, Lydia, Jen. Then Carolyn.
Jen.
Yes, I mean, you can't, some of this has to do with the bylaws. As you will recall, when we had our in-person meeting in D.C., Afia, and I thought Kathy had seconded it, had crafted a bylaws amendment for, I believe it was the Affiliates Task Force regarding quorum, where it was a reconstitution or calling it something else in order to get around the quorum necessity. But the bylaw, this has to be vetted. I actually think the way it's written right now, it's out of order, so I don't even think it can be referred. I totally believe that at the PMB meeting, before we vote on committees, that we need to have a discussion about our committee composition. There's only so much you can do within the confines of the bylaws. Some of this requires, including what Kathy has proposed, a bylaws amendment because there are different moving parts. The bylaws tell you what the committees must be, the standing committees and so forth, and governance happens to be one of them, by the way. And then it refers you back to Article 6, which tells you, you know, about the quorum necessity, and that's in the bylaws, so we can't go, like, beyond that. But there are other ways that we can try to figure something out, even if it means the bylaws change, because I agree we have a lot of problems in that regard.
Alex, on the spec.
This is Jessica, point of personal privilege. I have to go for just a minute. I'll be back on.
Thank you, Jessica. Okay, so Carolyn and Alex and folks, we're going to be out of time in just a minute. So, Carolyn.
Yeah, I think the motion is almost unnecessary because Robert's Rules does provide for exactly that provision, that a committee may meet in the absence of a quorum with the proviso that anything it passes must be ratified by the next meeting at which there is a quorum. So that part of it is covered. The part that is new and relevant to us, I think, is the part about the streaming, and that involves a cost, and it involves the time of the volunteers who do the streaming. It is not fair to hang everybody up for 10, 20, 30 minutes waiting for quorum while we could be meeting and working carefully and wait for the next quorum to pass whatever we do. So while I think the motion is redundant, as Robert's Rules already allows us to do exactly that, I would pass it and vote for it on the assumption that it would mean much less time hanging out waiting for quorum and much more productive use of the time of those people who actually show up. So I would vote for this I don't see a conflict with anything, and I see it only that it's a little bit redundant, which cannot hurt. Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn. Ken, and then Alex.
Yes. And Kathy, if I could, at the end.
Okay. This is
Ken.
I'm on two committees, finance and FRAT and tech, three committees. And on finance and FRAT, we always meet quorum, and usually we have all members attending. And so I consider that the problem of not meeting quorum is the inability to discharge members who missed three unexcused meetings. And there was a questionable policy that was made on that, but I think it's a violation. If people don't miss meetings, they're off the committee, that lowers the membership, that eases the quorum. And I think it's up to the chair of the committees to run a good meeting and motivate people to attend. So I haven't been in a meeting. I'm also on the election committee, which I think has also met quorum, at least when I've been on it. So I don't see a problem. If there's a committee that's not being properly run, then maybe people are not participating. Or you have to ask them to resign if they're not coming, or just discharge them when they have three unexcused absences. And I agree with Carolyn. It's already covered in Robert's Rules. I don't like the slippery slope of lessening procedure and going around policies like Robert's Rules and the bylaws. So I couldn't support it. Although I do really appreciate the intention of the members to try to get more work done and save members times in meetings.
This is Nia Summer. I'd like to be on the stack.
All right, folks, we're running over time and into our lawyer time. So I've got Alex, Nia, and I'll let Kathy close, and let's do whatever we're going to do here. Alex?
Carolyn was correct to bring up the fact that there's already a provision in Robert's Rules for precisely this sort of thing, so I can't understand why anybody who cites that would vote against this motion. I think the it's still useful to have the motion because it becomes a kind of a policy, and people aren't required to look up Robert's Rules each time this kind of thing happens. So I'm in favor of this motion.
Okay, Nia, and then Kathy.
Yeah, I understand the intent, but I think part of the problem is, like someone said earlier, that at the end of this year, we still have conveners rather than chairs. So I think it's a matter of the leadership of these committees not understanding Robert's Rules and not reading the bylaws. I don't think that this is necessary. We can do this without this motion. It's the management of the committee. There's no reason why we should still have conveners. I think Alex just said, and Ken, oh boy, I guess it's going to rain that I'm agreeing with these two guys tonight, that we really even need this. It is not necessary. I think what people need to understand are Robert's Rules and the bylaws, and there are provisions, and we need chairs who understand both of these things to help us to run our meetings properly.
Kathy, go ahead.
I think that everyone is speaking the truth of their experience in these committees. But I think that every year there are some committees that are energized and people are focused on the topics. There are other committees that have a much more difficult time because of the priorities overall. So from my perspective, I've convened committees and I've been on committees. There are many people who wanted to participate, but they ran out of steam because the quorum couldn't be met. The elections didn't happen because the quorums couldn't be met. The work of sharing the task of pulling people into the meeting couldn't happen because by not meeting quorum, it sort of stops the process. So what I'm saying here is that if you have a handful of energized people and we are, and the reason I say empowered is because I've been on these committee meetings where a very active, very lively, very engaged discussion is taking place, It's not in the public stream because we're missing maybe one person, two people. And then we go on like this for 45 minutes to an hour, and the staff is sitting there waiting to put it on the stream. And so it's like, if we're going to spend that hour, if we're going to spend that 45 minutes, let's engage it in a public way. Let's energize the committee and allow it to go forward instead of, because the status quo is, you know, to shut it down. And it's too big a problem for us to ignore and to just blame it on the chair or inexperience. That may be part of it. But also, people come to these meetings to be able to work. And I think that they should be allowed to work. And if it's provided for within the bylaws, if it's provided for within the Robert's rules, the only thing that's shutting it down is our policy. Because at some point, there was a motion or a policy decision that the meetings wouldn't stream till it reaches quorum. So I'm just asking that we consider how much work can get done. I mean, if you want to look at the affiliates task force, they have a different quorum requirement. They're getting a lot of work done. So if other committees can be allowed to get work done, get themselves energized, we can keep and build, a bigger participation. So I just think it's a real tragedy to have so many committees doing nothing year after year. And that's what happens. It may be a different committee each year, but it's a persistent problem. So rather than, I'd be happy to continue this discussion, but I think to ignore it is highly irresponsible of us. We have to resolve this problem.
I move to postpone to the in-person meeting. This is Lydia.
I second.
Okay, thank you. It doesn't need a second coming out of committee. We're at time, so we can take a vote. Yes? Sorry.
Yeah, this is a point of order. If we reject this motion, then what happens? We go right to a vote, up or down, on the motion? In other words, if we reject the postponement.
I'm sorry, who is moving to postpone it?
Lydia moved to postpone it to the in-person meeting.
Oh, sorry, Lydia. And who was your second? Who was your second?
I thought Kathy seconded it.
I did.
Thank you.
And
sorry.
My point of order question is if the postponement fails, do we then go straight to an up or down vote?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Point of order.
Yes.
If we reject this motion, I still want to point out that since it's part of Robert's rules, the committees can still do this.
Thank you. Okay, so we're at time, folks. We have our lawyer joining us shortly on another phone call. So, okay, we get the cards. Oh, here. Sorry. Madam Secretary, if you could please take a vote on, take the roll on whether or not we're postponing, and a yes vote will postpone it to the in-person meeting, and a no vote, yes, means we would go directly to a vote right now as to whether or not to.
Well, Madam Chair, but if this motion fails, there would, if somebody wanted to make a motion to refer back to committee, that could also be in order, but.
Actually, no, I don't know about that at this point because we're so past time. So, frankly, I think we'd be going to a vote. Madam Secretary, if you could call. Is there any objection to postponing this to the in-person meeting? Let's go there first.
Yes.
No.
Okay, so then let us call the roll. Madam Secretary, if you could call the roll.
Point of information, Madam Chair.
Yes.
I did not hear who had the objection. Who is objecting?
I heard two or three voices object.
No. Could we ask? I'd like to know who is objecting.
It doesn't matter.
Roll call.
It doesn't really matter who objects. If you hear anyone objecting, then you've got to take the roll, even someone who wants to abstain. Okay.
Point of information, please.
Yes, Carolyn.
I'm not quite clear on the status of the convening of streaming without a quorum. do we actually have a prohibition against starting the stream without a quorum, or is that just a custom that has come up?
Well, that is the problem that I'm trying to address.
Okay, and I don't know that we have an answer even to that right now, but I think at this point we do need to vote on whether or not to postpone, and if not, take a vote on the motion. Secretary, if you could call the roll, please. This is on the motion to postpone to the in-person meeting. A yes, that will postpone in-person meeting. And over.
Andy Allred?
Thank you.
Sorry, yes, I vote to postpone.
Thank you. Teresa Allen?
Yes.
Jessica Apollinar? Can't hear you, Jessica.
She had to go
Roger.
Off the call.
I'm sorry?
She said she had to go off the call and would return.
Oh, thank you. Rodrigo?
Yes.
Nia Bediaco?
No.
Wesley Bethune?
No.
Carolyn Burden?
I pass.
Lydia Brazon?
Yes.
We.
Bill Crozier?
Abstain.
Kathy Davis?
Yes.
Heather Gray?
Yes.
Campbell Johnson?
No.
Ifeoma Ngaza passes. Kemri Ondoff?
Pass.
Can't hear you, Kemri.
Pass.
Laura Priebus?
Yes.
Okay. Marcel Reed?
Yes.
Okay. Tracy Rosenberg?
I'm going to vote no.
Dan Siegel?
Pass.
Alex Steinberg?
Yes.
Andrea Turner?
Yes.
Bruce Wolf?
No.
Carolyn Burden?
Yes.
Kemri Orendoff?
Yes.
And I think on the last, but yes.
Dan and Jeff.
Two pass.
There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, yes. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, no.
Siegel passed.
I'm sorry?
Didn't Dan Siegel pass?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. And how do you vote, Dan?
Abstain.
Thank you. And 1, 2 abstentions. 12 yes, 6 no's, 2 abstentions.
I'm sorry, what
Hello?
Is the vote, please?
12 yes, 6 no's, 2 abstentions.
Thank you so much. Okay, so the postponement passes. We are past time on our agenda. Everyone,
motion to adjourn to executive session.
Don't even need a motion. We're out of time, but thank you, Nia. So everyone, please, as quickly as possible, it is 7:45, and our council will be joining us. Thank you.